السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
أنا أبو رحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، أبوك كتاب الكبائر باي الإمام الذهبي رحمه الله أبو عبد الله محمد بن أحمد. الإمام الذهبي أبو عبد الله محمد بن أحمد رحمه الله الذهبي. We are reading his book Al-Kaba'ir, where he has discussed those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself calls Al-Kaba'ir. Because in the verses that we had read in the past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ. If you avoid those among the kaba'ir from the things that I have prohibited, it means that in the things that Allah has prohibited subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of them are called al-kaba'ir. So what are these kaba'ir? What are these grave, serious, major things? What are they? In the last class, we started with Al-Kabiratul Ula. The reason why we have asked to know them is that لِنَجْدَنِبَهَا, so that we can avoid them. لِأَنَّ الْإِنسَانِ, because the individual لَا يَتَّقِي مَا لَا يَدْرِي, he will not be able to avoid what he does not know. So when Allah said, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ, if you keep away from the kaba'ir amongst those things that I have prohibited for you, if he does not know the kaba'ir, then he cannot keep away from them. So that is the reason we are reading this book. We want to know al-kaba'ir one after the other so that we can keep away from them. The first amongst the kaba'ir that Al-Imam al-Zahabi has mentioned, and it happens to be the worst of all the kaba'ir, it is called Ash-Shirku Billahi Ta'ala. So in the last class we read, he defined Ash-Shirku Billah. He defined the shirk he mentioned to, and that Allah has mentioned as the worst of the kaba'ir. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentions it as worst of the kabair, the first kabira, or the first of the kabair, that is al-kabiratul ula. That kabira, al-Imam al-Zahabi said to us that it is an taj'ala lillahi nidda, that you bring up a nid for Allah, a nazir, an equal. وَهُوَ خَلَقُكَ, while it is Allah who has created you. Allah created you alone. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. So since he has created you alone, don't bring an equal to him in his worship. He created you alone, so he alone should be worshipped. So الشرك is أَنْ تَجْعَلَ لِلَّهِ نِدًّا وَهُوَ خَلَقُكَ, is to bring an equal with Allah in Allah's worship. وَهُوَ خَلَقَكَ, when it was Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created you. وَتَعْبُدَ مَعَهُ غَيْرَهُ, and that you worship مَعَهُ, together or along with Allah, غَيْرَهُ, other than Allah. So shirk is either you bring somebody as an equal with Allah, وَتَعْبُدَ مَعَهُ غَيْرَهُ, and then you worship other than Allah together with Allah. Al-Dhahabi said, Rahimahullah, min hajarin, whether it be a stone, or basharin, or shamsin, or qamarin, or nabiyin, or shaykhin, or jinniyin, or najmin, or malakin, or ghayri dhalik. Whether that thing would be hajar, a stone, or bashar, or a human being, or shams, or a sun, or qamar, or a moon, or nabiyin, or a prophet of Allah, or shaykhin, or a sheikh. We had heard in this country and seen with our eyes people worshipping a sheikh. I saw the video of some people making sujood to a sheikh, sajda, with their heads and their nose on the ground, just like we make for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are from the aspects of ash-shirku billah. Aw jinniyin. We know many of those are found in Jalabi. They give worship to jinns. They slaughter for jinns. They give sacrifices to jinns. They ask requests, make help, seek help and assistance from jinns. All these are aspects of ibadah to those jinns. Our najm is to some of them still do that till today. We have some people who are worshippers of the stars. Part of it is what people have. They say Sagittarius stars. These are stars people give worship to. Our malakin. Or some people think that they worship malaika, the angels, and other things people direct worship to. Anyone who ta'budu ma'allahi ghayrahu, he who worships man ya'budu ma'allahi ghayrahu, who worships any other than Allah together with Allah. So that person may be observing salat. He may be paying zakat, but he still does any of these things. That person is committing a shirku billah. Allah said, "Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha." Allah certainly la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. He would not forgive that shirk is done to him. That is that you join partners in worship with him. Wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. He will forgive any other than that. Maduna, anything lesser than shirk, Allah will forgive it. But as for shirk, Allah will not forgive anybody who dies. He meets Allah without asking for tawbah from Allah. Committing shirk, Allah will not forgive it, will not forgive him. We said to us in the last class that this expression occurs in two places in the Quran. The two of them in a single surah, Surah An-Nisa. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. In verse 48, Allah said, "Wa man yushrik billah faqad iftara ithman azima." In verse 116, he says, "Wa man yushrik faqad dhalla dhalalan ba'ida." All of these those to make us understand that shirk is a major sin with Allah. We must avoid it. Allah said, "Innahu man yushrik billah faqad harrama Allahu alayhi al-jannah wa ma'awahu an-nar." Any person, man yushrik billah, who joins partners with Allah and dies upon it, faqad certainly harrama Allahu alayhi al-jannah, Allah has forbidden it that that kind of a person would ever come into al-jannah. To make us understand better, he said, "Wa ma'awahu an-nar." His place of final rest, when a non-Muslim die, they say that he has gone to rest finally. His ma'awa will be Jahannam, and it is not a place of rest. It is a place of azab for him. May Allah protect us from the fire of hell. This means that ash-shirku billah is something we all must avoid. In the verse that followed, Al-Imam al-Dhahabi cited another verse. That waqala ta'ala, Allah The Exalted also said, Inna shirka la zulmun azim. Shirk is an absolutely mighty zulm. Zulm is injustice. And it is wadhu shay'i fi ghayri mahallihi. When you place something in a place different where it should be, faqad zalamta, you have made zulm. So if you direct worship to anyone apart from Allah, or to anyone together with Allah, shirk is that you are worshipping that thing, you set Allah aside, or that you are worshipping Allah, you observe Salah, you still have something again you are doing. From the aspects of some of the things that we have mentioned, you make dua, you ask Shehu for your needs, you are asking jinns for your need, you swear by other than Allah, knowing that that thing you swear by is not Allah, it is not from the attributes of Allah, and you do that ta'ziman lahu, or you prostrate for other than Allah, ta'ziman lahu, you do all of these, you make al-half bi ghayrillah, you have khawf, the kind of khawf you should have for Allah, you have it for a creature. All of these are aspects of shirk. Allah said, inna shirka, do this zulm. You are placing all these things in the places that they do not deserve. You are placing worship in places where they do not deserve worship. Those people do not deserve those worship. Those things do not deserve those ibadat. So that is zulm. And because it has to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is zulmun azim. It is serious, huge injustice that you commit. May Allah protect us. Al-Imam al-Zahabi went on and said, فَمَنْ أَشْرَكَ بِاللَّهِ. Therefore, anyone who joins partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ مَاتَ مُشْرِكًا. Then he is upon his shirk until he dies. He dies in the condition of being a mushrik. فَهُوَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ قَطْعًا. Such a person will be from the people of the fire, qat'an, in an absolute sense. There is no excuse. We can conclusively say that anyone who dies upon shirk is from the people of the fire. Wa ma'awahu an-nar. He will be in that fire forever. His place of final end is Jahannam, fire. Why? Mata mushrikan. Brothers, let us know this. If you have a friend, if you have a colleague, if you have a neighbor, if you have a brother, if you have a sister, if you have a father, if you have a mother and you love them, and they are upon shirk, make efforts now. Because man ashraka billah thumma mata mushrikan fahuwa min ashabin nari qat'a. Because decisively, absolutely, if the person dies upon shirk, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ قَطْعًا. Such a person is from the adherents of Jahannam in the absolute sense. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ مَاتَ لَا يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَجَبَتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ مَاتَ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَجَبَتْ لَهُ النَّارِ. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari said, Man mata, that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, anyone who dies, who passes away, yushriku billahi shay'a. When he died, he was upon shirk. Wajabat lahun nar. That's why Az-Zahabi said, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ قَطْعَ. Wajabat lahun nar. What is deservingly for him, that will be for him absolutely is nar, Jahannam. May Allah protect us from this. This is to make us understand that ashirku billah is kabiratun min al kabair. So he said, rahimahullah, on page 91 that we have on the screen. Kama anna man amana billah. Similarly, man amana billah. Anyone who truly believes in Allah, he has iman in Allah. Wa mata mu'minan. And he dies upon iman. فَهُوَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَنَّةِ. such a person will be from the people of Al-Jannah. Wa in udhiba, even if he may be punished, why will he be punished? He is a person of Iman. Well, he was upon zina, he did not repent, and Allah did not forgive him. He died while still committing zina. Wa in udhiba, even if he may be punished in Jahannam, Allah will still bring him in the end to Al-Jannah. Why? That is the reward for his Iman. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man mata la yushrik billahi shay'ah, wajabat lahu al-jannah. Anyone who dies not committing shirk with Allah, wajabat lahu al-jannah. What he will get as his reward for what he has done is al-jannah. So Imam al-Zahabi said, he will read again. فَمَنْ أَشْرَكَ بِاللَّهِ مَنْ أَشْرَكَ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى ثُمَّ مَاتَ مُشْرِكًا فَهُوَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ قَطْعًا كَمَا أَنَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَاتَ مُؤْمِنًا فَهُوَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَنَّةِ وَإِنْ أُذِّبَ. To anyone who joins partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ثُمَّ مَاتَ مُشْرِكًا, and then he dies upon shirk, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ قَطْعًا, such a person is, in the absolute sense, from the people of Jahannam. كَمَا أَنَّ مَنْ أَمَنَ بِاللَّهِ, just as anyone who has Iman with Allah. وَمَاتَ مُؤْمِنًا, and he dies while being upon Iman. فَهُوَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَنَّةِ, such a person will be from the people of Al-Jannah. Wa in udhiba, even if he may be punished. Even if he may be punished comes because some people, perhaps as Muslims, they did not make tawbah from some sins they were committing. Maybe they were eating riba. Maybe they committed zina. Maybe they were telling lies. Maybe they were disobedient to their parents. May Allah protect us from all these. These are kaba'ir. And that's why Allah guarantees us, in tajtanibu kaba'ir ma tunhawun, all of these things that I have prohibited you, if you avoid them from amongst them, the kaba'ir, if you keep away from kaba'ir, nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum wa nudkhilkum mudkhalan karima, I will forgive you the rest of your smaller sins, and then I will admit you into Al-Jannah. So anyone who is able to avoid all these sins, he avoided shirk, he abstained from zina, he was never ever telling lies, he was not a disobedient child to the parents, he was not committing, he was not consuming riba, he was not taking human soul, he was not acting upon riya, show off, and all of these, is not likely to be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will not punish him. Allah guarantees him. Once he does all these with good intentions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his own case goes away also from where in Udhiba. We'll be expecting that out of the mercy and the favor of Allah, he will accept his worship and admit him into Al-Jannah without punishing him. So it means we really have a duty, because Allah said, in tajtanibu kaba'ir ma tunhawun, if you avoid kaba'ir, nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum wa nudkhilkum mudkhalan karima. So the benefit of avoiding these sins is that Allah will forgive us and he will admit us into Al-Jannah. Al-Imam al-Zahabi, after citing verses of the Quran to us, understand that shirku, but inform you about the most serious of the kaba'ir. That hadith, this hadith we are reading, is from the hadith of Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ala unabbi'ukum bi akbaril kaba'ir. The Prophet said that three times, alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? so that every one of us will pay good attention, comes to tell us about the worst of the kabair, the worst, the major, serious, grievous sins, the worst of them. Allah unabbi'ukum bi akbaril kabair. Did I not tell you about the most grievous of all kabair? And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, al-ishraku billah, joining a partner with Allah. But while on that day he told them, he mentioned this one three times, Allah unabbi'ukum bi akbaril kabair. Akbaril kabair. Allah unabbi'ukum. Should I not tell you the worst of the grievous sins? The worst of the grievous sins are the kabair. But from these grievous sins, there are those that are worse. And the companions, radiallahu anhum, said, Bala ya Rasulallah. Please do tell us, O Messenger of Allah. Qala al-ishraku billah. So the first sin that he mentioned is the one we are handling. We will come back to the rest of them, inshallah. He said, al-ishraku billah, joining partners with Allah. So, ikhwa, that's how we say the worst of the sin anybody who committed is ashirku billah. Each of us should watch it. It is the head of the kabair, the worst of the kabair. The most grievous of the kabair is al-ishraku billah, joining partners with Allah. Joining partners with Allah is a serious, grievous offense before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith that followed, number 6, al-imam al-Dhahabi said, rahimahullah, waqal, yani waqal al-Nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ijtanibu as-sab' al-mubiqat. Ijtanibu, O people. Like Allah said, in tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhawun. Al-ijtinab is al-ibti'adu an-shay. Ibti'ad, go far away from it. So it's beyond saying that don't do it. Go far away. Don't come any near it. This is the meaning of ijtinab. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ijtanibu as-sab' al-mubiqat. Keep away, run away from as-sab' al-mubiqat. Those, the seven mubiqat, the seven muhlikat. Al-mubiqat, al-muhlikat, meaning the seven destructive sins. Move away from them, because these things will destroy you. Ikhwa. These sins will destroy you if you do them. They are seven in number. Others too are destructive. But these ones, their destruction is swift and fast and very, very, very dangerous. The first of them, the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Imam Abi Tula, he said, Fazaka min hashirka. He said, Ijtanibu asab al-mubiqat. Avoid the seven destructive sins. Fadhakara min hashirk. The Prophet now mentioned ashirk from those seven destructive sins. These sins the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, they are seven in number. And he said to us that we should avoid all of them. When he said ijtanibu as-sab' al-mubiqat, he asked him, Ya Rasulallah, wa ma huna, what are they? Just like as he told them, Allah unabbi'ukum bi akbaril kabair, should I not tell you about the most grievous of the kabair? They said to him, Bala Ya Rasulallah, please tell us. Why are they saying, tell us? Because if they know it, it will be easy for them to follow that verse of the Quran. In touch, then you kaba'ira ma tunhaun nukaffir 'ankum sayyi'atikum wa nudkhilukum mudkhalan karima. If you avoid the kaba'ir, Allah will forgive you, and then he will put you inside the al-jannah. So each time the Prophet speaks about these things, he speaks to them, he says it in a manner to draw their attention. The first one, he says, Allah unabbi'ukum bi akbaril kaba'ir. Should I not tell you about the worst of the sins? You can see, yes, tell us, Mr. Gama. The same way here, he said, avoid those seven mubiqat, ijtanibu as-sab'a al-mubiqat. They will be saying, what are they? What are they? Wa ma hunna ya Rasulallah. So this makes us understand that these are very serious sins. That was why the Prophet has employed a way that we attract the students to listen to it, so that they can keep away from these sins. So the first one the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the mubiqat, alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned ashirku billah, ashirku billah. He mentioned joining partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned others too, from the seven mubiqat, as-sab al-mubiqat, that he has commanded us, alayhi salatu wasalam, to avoid. He said, ashirku billah wa sihr. As-sihr is magic or sorcery. As-sihr is magic or sorcery. This is a way people create, they create secret impact in people by affecting the soul of the mashur. This is called as-sihr. We are coming back to it because it's also from the aspects of al-kaba'ir we must keep away from. You must never do it, and you must never be an accomplice in it. He also mentioned وَقَتْلُ النَّفْسِ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَكِّ, taking the soul, killing a soul, الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ, that Allah holds honorable, إِلَّا بِالْحَكِّ, except for the rights of the soul, and no soul should be taken except for its rights. Those who will take a soul for the right of a soul are constituted authority. Like when someone kills somebody in a murder case, constituted authority will take that person and they will give a legal punishment for that person. From the things he mentioned, as from the movie court, he mentioned waqlu riba, consuming riba, waqlu mali al-yatim, and eating up the wealth of the orphans. A young boy before maturity. His father died. You and the boy grows up before you hand it over to him, and then you begin to eat it up. You begin to disperse alik. Kabair, what Tawalli Yotul of Jihad, that is vice of Al Kabair. The seventh one is Waqaf Muhsanat, falsely accusing this, believing innocence from the Muhsanat. She's a chaste man. When she's from the Gafi, Al Mu'mina at Al Ghafilat, the Al Mubiqat from Salah. السبع المبق فذكر منها الشرك ذهب بنشر رحمه الله يسد وقاه عليه والسلام أدنه عنهما عبد الله بن عباس. He heard that Ali ibn Abi Talib was burning some people with the fire. Why was he burning them with fire? They were ascribing Ali to Ilahiya. They were ascribing lordship to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Zanadiqa. they were ascribing to Ali what should be ascribed to Allah alone. So he took a way of punishing them, and that involved using the fire. When he got to Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, radiyallahu anhuma, that it is not proper, it is la yu'la tu'adzibu bi'adzabillah, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had prohibited the Muslims, he had prohibited us from punishing people with Allah's punishment, meaning with the fire. He said, rather what Ali ibn Abi Talib should have done is, he should have killed them rather than burning them. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ma baddala dinahu, anyone who changes his religion. What those people did then was that they were committing shirk. What was the shirk they were committing? They were ascribing lordship to Ali. They were calling Ali Allah. Some of them were saying a lot of things that amounted to ascribing to Ali the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the meaning of shirk. They did that after they had been Muslims. That is from the aspects of ridda. They were upon iman. They were now committing clear-cut shirk. Ali ibn Abi Talib held them, and some of them were burned. It was in this circumstance that Ibn Abbas said, hey, it should not have been by burning. It should have been by killing in another form. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man baddala dinahu faqtuluhu, anyone who renegades from his religion, Islam, anyone who renegades from Tawheed, he that believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it believed in the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Allah is ar-Rabb. Allah is subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is absolutely the creator of all things. He gives us life. He sustains us, and he will take our life, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will raise us up on the day of Qiyam. Allah is our Rabb. Dead, and that worship is due for Allah alone, subhanahu. Is he alone should we ask for our help? We ask for our help. We ask for our need. We ask for our protection. We ask for children. We ask for food. We have asked for all of these in terms of making dua to him. Direct our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And then subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know his attributes and his names. We know that he alone is in all of these alone. And we know that walam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad, and that's what we believe and worship him upon. After this, someone goes back to start saying that he's worshiping a human being, he's worshiping a stone, he's worshiping a star, is worshipping a jinn. If the constituted authority in the Muslim community or region arrests this kind of a person, their punishment is capture. If this kind of a person becomes arrested, the punishment is capital. It is offense against the state. So the punishment is capital. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man baddala dinahu faqtuluhu, anyone who changes his religion, faqtuluhu, execute such a person. This makes us understand that kufr or shirk is a very grievous offense. Call it kufr or shirk, because Allah would also use the expression interchangeably. At the end of Surah Al-Mu'minun, he said, وَمَنْ يَدْعُوا مَا اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٌ La burhana lahu bihi, fa innama hisabuhu inda rabbihi, innahu la yuflihu al-kafiru bisi. Man yad'u ma'allahi ilahan akhar, du'a'u ma'allahi ilahan akhar. This shirk. By the end, he says, innahu la yuflihu al-kafiru. So this shirk, Allah called it kufr. So these two words can be used interchangeably. So if a person commits kufr, he was a person of iman, he commits kufr or he commits shirk, his punishment is capital. He has changed his religion from the religion of tawhid to the religion of kufr or the religion of shirk. If it were in the land of Islam, when the government is of Islam, the state will arrest such a person, and the capital, the punishment is capital, after making him face the appropriate lines of checking and verification regarding what he has said. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man baddala deenahu faqtulu. This hadith occurs in Sahih Bukhari. All the ahadith we have read, they are ahadith from Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih of Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. I'd like to quickly point out a small difference in the use of this word ash-shirk. The ulama say to us that ash-shirku naw'an. Shirk is in two forms. The first one is shirku, ash-shirku al-akbar, the major shirk. That is the one we have been talking about all this while. That is the one that involves directing worship to other than Allah, or joining worship of Allah with worship of other than Allah. They are all forms of shirk. Worshipping a stone, worshipping a shew, worshipping a jinn, worshipping an angel, worshipping a star, worshipping a sun, worshipping a moon, and all of these that Al-Imam al-Dhahabi and others amongst the ulama, they have mentioned to us as proven in the Quran and the Sunnah. These are all aspects of shirk in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the first one that we are talking about. It is the one that Allah says about it, that inna shirka la dhulmun azim. It is the one about which Allah said, innahu man yushrik billah faqad harrama Allahu alayhi al-jannah. There is a second kind of shirk called ash-shirkul asgar. That is a smaller, a kind of shirk that is lesser than the first one that we have always been talking about since we started this class. That is, for example, ar-riya, show off. People make a lot of show off. It is from the aspects of shirk. This ar-riya is not like ash-shirkul akbar. It is ash-shirkul asgar. It is a smaller kind of shirk, smaller than ash-shirkul akbar. Because ar-riya or as-sum'a is making ibadah to seek popularity. You make ibadah when you recite the Quran. You know that it is the book of Allah you are reciting. You know that you are worshipping Allah with it. But you want to show to the people. You see the difference in ash-shirkul asgar. Your worship is actually directed to Allah. You are actually worshipping Allah. You observe salah, you are actually worshipping Allah. But there's a second thing connected to it. That is the shirk in it. That second thing you have put into it, because that worship should be for Allah alone. You now brought a second thing to it. What is the second thing you have brought into it? You want the people to see it. You want to be seen for it. You want to be praised for it. You want to be popular for it. It was for popularity seeking. It was not just worshiping Allah. And then people see you worship Allah. You have a purpose of wanting, deliberately wanting them to praise you for it, to see you for it. Make them see that. Make them know that. Make you become popular for that. It's a big, big, big sin in the sight of Allah. It is also from the aspects of Al-Kabair, even though it is less in terms of its gravity than Shirkul Akbar that we have been talking about. Don't forget, the seventh point we mentioned in the Muqaddimah of this book is that Al-Kabair Laha Darajat. Kabair, they are of different levels. Not all the Kabair are the same levels. We have Ba'dul Kabair Akbaru Wa Ashna'u Min Ba'd. Some forms of Al-Kabair are worse. They are more grievous than others. So Ash-Shirkul Akbar is worse than Ash-Shirkul Asgar, and the two of them, both Akbar and Asgar, are from Al-Kabair. But what we have been talking about as Al-Kabiratul Ula, that we called Ash-Shirku Billah, is from the aspects of what? Ash-Shirkul Akbar. the major, major kind of shirk, which has to do with directing dua, directing tawaf, or slaughtering for a jinn, slaughtering for a shehu. Not that a shehu, someone is visiting you and you slaughter to entertain him, but you are slaughtering it to seek nearness to him, or that you are slaughtering to seek nearness to a person in the grave. You can slaughter to give sadaqat to a person who, to people who are in need, give the sadaqat to those in need, asking Allah to reward maybe your father or your relative who has passed. But in this case, deliberately slaughtering to seek nearness by way of devotion and giving such servitude to the one inside the grave, because you think that that one is aware of your condition. This kind of a thing is this kind of a slaughtering, this kind of a sacrifice is from the aspects of ashirkul akbar that takes a person out of Islam. The point here is the first and the worst, the most grievous aspects of the sins that anybody would commit is ashirku billah. And Allah has promised us, in tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhaun, if you avoid this shirk, if you avoid the rest of the major sins too, nukaffir ankum sayyatikum, I will forgive you your minor sins, wa yudkhilkum mudkhalan karima, and I will admit you into a place of honor in a manner of honor. So if someone asks, why do you want to leave shirk? It's sufficient to say that I want to leave shirk because I want Allah to admit me into Al-Jannah. He has promised that anybody who leaves shirk, Allah will admit him into Al-Jannah. This is the first thing that Al-Imam al-Dhahabi has mentioned. Before we move to the which is Qatlu Nafs, second major from amongst the Kabair is Qatlu Nafs. Qatlu Nafs is the second worst from amongst the Kabair. Qatlu Nafs, taking a soul, killing a human being. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. People will be there and a person will lose their life from your hands. In Allah will be coming to this in the next class. May Allah protect us. Taking the life of somebody else is a serious offense in the sight of Allah. It is part of Al-Kabair. But today, inshallah, our lessons will be upon Al-Kabair and the need to complete about Ashirk Billah and the need to completely run away from Ashirk. If you have joined a cult in a higher institution, go away from it. Because the bulk of what you do there are things of shirk. Those young boys running about looking for money, looking for medicines, looking for to do and all of these to do, looking for money, we now refer to them as Yahoo. All of what they do, there is hardly anything that is not about shirk in what they do. In all of these cases, people need to make a tawbah to Allah. Make tawbah, oh brother, oh young boy, oh young girl. In fact, this may include people who are older. Make tawbah. Tubu ila Allahi jami'an. Ayyuhal mu'minun la'allakum tuflihun. Make tawbah. Make tawbah to Allah. Repent from all these evils. Repent from visiting shehu. We have some older people, mothers, aunts, women, uncles, paternal, maternal, who despite still observing Salah, they still visit Tasras. They go to them, ask them. Those people claim to know the events of the future. They still go to ask all of these. All these are from the aspects of what? Ashirku billah. Because Allah alone knows the events of the tomorrow. No one knows the events of the tomorrow except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah indahu ilmusa'a wa yunazzilu al-ghaytha wa ya'lamu ma fil arham وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا، وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت، إن الله عليم خبير. إن الله عنده علم الساعة. The day that the time this dunya shall end is known to Allah alone. وينزل الغيث. Allah alone sends down the rains from the heavens. ويعلم ما في الأرحام. Someone could say, but scientists can determine when the rain will fall. If they determine when the rain will fall, can they determine the drops of water that will fall? Can they determine the drops of water that will wash off from the surface of the earth as runoff? Can they determine the drops of water that will penetrate into the ground as groundwater? So Allah is Yunazzilul Ghayth, and Al Ghayth is the rain that will make the plants to grow and benefit the earth. So scientists, in fact, they can bring artificial rain. But this artificial rain, can it determine the plants that will grow? Can you determine the number of drops of water that will fall? Can you determine the drops of runoff? Can you determine those ones that will penetrate in the ground as groundwater? Can you determine the particular drops of water that will be responsible for the growth of plants and even the weeds? The science, this knowledge of human beings have not reached all of these. Allah loves them. Yunazzilul Ghayth. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. Allah alone knows what is in the wombs. So they say that we can do some radio, whatever, to determine the sex of a baby. Can they determine whether that baby will be rich or poor? Can they determine the date of birth or death of that child? Can they determine the number of hairs on the skin of the body of the baby? Can they determine the number of speech, the number of food, the quantity of water that unborn baby will drink for the rest of his life? And they determine all of that, the number of friends he will make, the name of the wife he will marry, the name of the husband she will marry. Can they determine all of that? The amount of money that child will ever spend, can they determine all of that? So Allah, ya'lamu ma, everything connected to the child in the womb is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fama wa ma tadri nafsu madha taksibu ghada. So no soul knows what it will end tomorrow. Fama tadri nafsu bi ayyi ardin tamut. No one knows on which part of the earth that he will pass away. Inna Allah alim khabir. Allah is the one who has absolute knowledge and is well aware of all things. So the knowledge of the tomorrow belongs to Allah. Don't go to seek it from anyone. When you begin to run about doing all of this, you are committing shirk. Avoid it. And as we have seen it, that Allah said, Inna shirka la zulmun azim. Shirk is a serious, grievous offense of injustice that the individual commits. And Al-Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah, in this book, Al-Kabair, he has mentioned it as from the first Kabira. In Al-Kabair. And the Prophet also, when he told us, as we have in Hadith number 5 on the screen, he said, Allah unabbi'ukum bi akbar al-kabair. Did I not tell you about the most grievous of all the kabair, of all the major sins? The first one he mentioned was alayhi salatu wasalam, al-ishraku billah, joining partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hadith. And hadith that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah has reported, and likewise Al-Imam Muslim has reported that hadith rahimahumullah. I think it will suffice as a lesson that we have ended Al-Kabiratul Ula, the first major sin, and that is what Ashirku Billah. And we said Ashirku Billah, that we mean here is what Ashirkul Akbar. Because shirk can be in two forms, al-akbar and what? Al-asgar. Al-asgar is al-riya, sum'a, and the like of that. And they have been categorized in this book also as part of the Kaaba. They are not as grievous and serious as Shirku Billah. May Allah protect us from shirk and the people of shirk. Bismillah al-kabiratu thaniya. That one occurs on page 94. That is what we'll be looking at, inshallah, from our next class. If we have a few questions that we can talk about, we can ask them, inshallah, and we try to find responses to them. Bismillah Abdul Rahman. Amin, amin, wa iyakum Aba Abdul Rahman.
The first question I hear is, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair. Does this fall under shirk too? That a person goes to the extra mile to assist people, and from what it is indirectly deduced from the person is that he does this thing to do a man on the people. Can you hear me, sir?
This question is not clear. Can you come again, Abdul Rahman? Can you ask again?
It says, does this fall under shirk too? That a person goes the extra mile to assist people, and from what is indirectly deduced from the person is that he does these things.
He is doing that man. It's not clear. Someone goes extra mile to help the people, and it becomes that what's the reason he is doing that is that he goes about and he begins to employ the good that he has done to them as a means of insult for them, as a means of abuse to them. Did I not help you yesterday? Did I not do this to you yesterday? Did I not do that to you yesterday? That's the reason why he's doing what he is doing. Is this also from the aspects of ash-shirku billah? I think I would like to respond to the person asking, and I like to respond to the person he is asking about. Oh, brothers, avoid going beyond limits to begin to think about why was my brother doing good to me, and then shaitan begins to suggest to you that he is doing it for one reason that is unlawful. Why are you checking his own intention? Leave his own intention to him. Leave his intention to him. Leave his intention to be rewarded by Allah. If he benefits you something, or he benefits people, don't start thinking that, oh, he's doing the benefit so that he can claim a sense of superiority of others. Don't go this far to begin to query and question his intention for what he has done. Allow that to be between himself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in our religion, al-hukmu lil-dhahir, the ruling is regarding what you have just seen. So don't go extra mile, start finding out, asking out, checking and supervising, trying to find out and provide an answer for yourself. Oh, the reason why he is doing this is that he wants to be superior to us, and then he will be employing what he has done, the means of abusing us. Don't do that to your brother, please. As for the person who is doing the good, if you think that he has said something that will translate al-mannu, Allah prohibited that in the Quran. In fact, the scholars used to say, if a person is actually upon al-mannu, insulting others because of the good that he does to them, that what he has done to them should not be counted as sadaqah. Because Allah says, La tu'tilu sadaqatikum bil manni wal adha. So if there is man on a sadaqah, that sadaqah is batila. So it does not have the ruling of a sadaqah. So if you find your brother making a mistake, he did something to people, And he began to insult them based upon it. Was I not the one who gave you this? Was I not the one by way of insulting them? And you can make nasiha for him because he's your brother. You will not want him to lose the rewards of his good deeds. The question again now is, does this come from the aspects of ashirku billah? The aspect of the shirk that this one can fall into is ashirkul asgar, which is called a riya, show of, or popularity seeking. That is where it can fall into. It does not fall from this major aspect of al-kabiratul ula that we are talking about. It only falls from the aspects of riya, which will also come later on as from the aspects of ashirk, which is called ashirkul asgar. I hope that it is clear, inshallah. Ameen wa iyyakum Allah ar-Rahman.
Barakallahu feekum, Sheikh. How can we avoid riya and suma?
Bismillah, we will discuss riya and suma. Riya, sure. Suma, popularity seeking. When we come to them, bismillah, in this book, Al-Kabair. Because al-riya actually occurs here, inshallah, as al-kabiratu as-sabi'atu was-salafi, number 37, the 37th kabair. That is where al-riya comes. Bismillah, we'll discuss it in greater details. But one of the ways to avoid al-riya, because riya is from the dawa'u of al-qalb, is from the thicknesses of the riya. The one who suffers from riya is suffering from a disease. That disease, that marad, is qalbi. And it's Allah, ikhwa is a dua, thus a dua to see, a'udhu bika min an ushrika bika shay'an a'alamuhu wa astaghfiruka bima la a'alamuhu. Oh Allah, you see in this dua, Allah called riya, called it what? Shirk. Allahumma inni as'aluka. Oh Allah, I ask your help. Min an ushrika bika, away from committing shirk with you. This shirk here is riya, show off, or asuma, popularity seeking. Some people like popularity seeking. It is the life of the social media today. Life of the social media is the life of riya and asuma much more than any other thing. The life of the social media today is the life of riya and asuma. May Allah protect all of us. So we make dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka min an ushrika bika shay'an a'alamuhu. I ask for your protection so that I do not commit shirk in a matter when I know that it is shirk, when I know that this one is true of, when I know that this thing is sum'a and riya. Protect me, Allah. Wa astaghfiruka bima la a'alamuhu. In the matters that I don't know, I ask for your forgiveness. When I don't know if it just happens, I am ignorant. I was not deliberate, but it happened. Forgive me, O Allah. But when I know, don't let me ever do it. Don't let me be a person who will be deliberately making ibadah. He is observing salat, he is imam of the masjid. Because people are in the masjid, he begin to twist his voice. He began to do that just for them to say, oh, his voice is sweet, and that's all. He wants to be praised for it. He wants people to say, we have not seen a person reading Quran like him. That is the basic reason why he's reading the Quran, not because it is deserving that the Quran is properly read. The two intentions are different. One is good, one is bad. If his intention is that I need to read the Quran properly, why? The Quran deserves that it is properly read, and Salat deserves that it is properly performed. This intention is correct. But that I should read the Quran with a sweet voice so that I will be praised. You see, now this is riya now. May Allah protect us. So one of the ways to avoid riya is to make a lot of dua, making a lot of dua and being conscious of whatever you are doing. Fix your mind to it. Making isti'adha is also important because it is one of the instruments of shaitan. When you do something good, he wants to spoil it. So one of the things with which he spoils it is riya. Because once riya creeps into the job, Allah will not accept it. And shaitan does not want Allah to accept it. He didn't want to do it before. So when you struggle and you do it, he wants Allah to reject it. May Allah protect us from all of these. May Allah protect us from all of these. For anybody who has been deliberately doing it before, don't forget, one of the qawaid we learned in the Muqaddima is that إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. Allah is a Lord whose kingdom, whose forgiveness is what? إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. And مَنْ تَابَ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. We are discussing these things so that we can make tawbah away from it and completely pay away from it. Not because we want to embarrass and insult ourselves. We all want everybody to be awake, to be awake, to be agile, to be conscious, not to be falling into this sin. So, but anyone who is already falling to it, Allah's maghfirah awaits you. Inna Allaha wasi'ul maghfirah. May Allah forgive all of us. Can we take one more question about the Rahman? Ameen,
this one said, what is the fate of someone who is forced to make kufru statements under duress and dies without repenting?
If the duress is true, because sometimes the duress is just upon an imagination. The duress is true when, for example, you have a gun on your head. If you don't say this statement of kufur, you may be shot in the head. And you know truly that you may be shot. And the person actually has the power to shoot in the head. May Allah protect all of us. This is the duress now. So one person can make that statement of kufur to seek relief from it. But if the duress is just imagined, there are duress people imagined, they create the condition of a duress for themselves and say they are under duress. And actually, there is no duress. So if the duress is mutahakkak, if the duress is sabit, yani clearly established and really, really possible, if a person makes a statement of kufur while iman is still in his heart, wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman. Don't forget, he makes a statement of kufur, but in his heart, iman is still clearly well established there, and there is no blame. So that's why I said some people sometimes they will just claim that there is duress. Their heart is already inclined to kufur before they say the kufur with their mouth. When they are now challenged, they say, oh, it's duress. This is not duress. Allah, in whom you declare iman, he knows that you had already renegated from your iman to kufur. So Allah knows. Allah knows if it is true. Allah knows. We are just talking about what is regarding us, that we see that is clear to us as human beings. So regarding that, if the duress is real and genuine, then the person can make a statement of kufur while his heart is established upon iman. And as soon as he is free from the duress, he returns to statements of kufur, he returns to statements of iman, he begins to repeat statements of iman. Of course, his heart had never changed before, even at that time of duress. So in this case, that kufur that he had, it will not count against him as kufur. May Allah protect us all from kufur. that will make from the duress that will make us begin to speak kufr. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen wa iyyakum abad rahman. Can we call it a day today? The time is already fast spent.
Naam, Shaykh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Come back to class tomorrow morning for Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Inshallah.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.